Welcome to Lessons from the Trenches. My name is Brad Cook, and I'm your host. I'm on a mission to talk with as many people as I can. I believe there are powerful and meaningful lessons from those in the trenches. Thank you for joining me on this journey as we talk with people from all types of businesses and in every role. So if you're ready, let's get into the trenches.
You can't grow if you don't measure, and you can't measure if you don't track. That is a fundamental truth in business. So it's fair to say that if you want to grow your business, you need to pay attention to what you're tracking. One of the earliest questions I ask with new clients is, how do you think your business is going? Now, how they answer tells me more than the actual answer. What I mean by that is I'm looking for insight into their thinking, a little insight into how they might be managing their business. Most people are going to answer the question with a comment on sales. Well, sales are strong. I get it. It's a universal measurement, and it's easy to get that information. I've had a client who measured the number of units that they've shipped in a week or a month. To them, that was a direct correlation to what revenue was going to be. When I drilled down with the prospective coaching clients, however, many are relying on that as their key measure, which is a major mistake. Aww. Revenue is vanity. Profit is sanity. As I say all the time, I want you to focus on profit. Profit's got to be the major thing that you're measuring your activity against. There are a few things that you can track and then measure to move the profit needle or to make sure that it's going in the right direction. We're just going to talk about two today, and that is costs, cutting costs, being aware of cost, tracking costs, and lifetime value of your customers. Those are the two pieces that we're going to talk about that affect profit and that are things you can track. Okay, little sidebar here for a second, because we're not together in person having this discussion. I want to make sure that something is clear. We are choosing things to track because we want to see how our activities are impacting profit. And based on that, we're going to make some decisions. A word of caution, and if you were a coaching client, this is something we would discuss time and time again. Be careful making short-term good profit decisions that have longer-term bad profit implications in your business. So said differently, making a decision today because in the short run, it's going to give you a bump in your profit, but months from now, year from now, maybe multiple years from now, that decision is going to come back and bite you, right? We've got to be balanced in our decision-making. The point of this discussion and the point of this idea of tracking, measuring growth is that we know what it is we do and how it moves the profit needle. Okay, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's talk about a few things that you can do today that are going to boost your profit. Addition by subtraction. When you cut costs, the amount you save drops to the bottom line immediately. No faster way to increase your profit. I don't want you to get chop happy. There is risk involved when you start cutting, right? Obvious things. So make sure you discuss any kind of cutting strategy with your coach before jumping in right into the deep end. For small businesses, I'd go directly to the credit card statement. I honestly have yet to find a company, mine included, that didn't have thousands in savings buried in their everyday transactions, unnecessary fees, recurring subscriptions that are no longer being used, better or lower cost options for the same things. Maybe it's been a while since you've shopped the best price or the best value. It's a painfully slow process, especially if you have more than one person who's authorized to make purchases. But I promise you, it is worth it. I've noticed business owners being more intentional about analyzing their bank statements and credit card statements with a physical copy of that statement. Today, we live in a digital world and not everybody prints their statements. Probably very few do. Many people don't even have a printer. That's hard to believe. But nonetheless, if you can get your hands on a physical copy, there is something about holding that highlighter and going line by line for each transaction. You're going to stop and question yourself more often than if it was in a digital and you were just clicking a box or highlighting something with your cursor. That's just a pro tip. Yes! Now, as you go through this, you're going to reflect. I want you to reflect and ask yourself, is this something that we absolutely had to spend money on? Did you need the Sam size bucket of coffee table mints when it's just you sitting in a Zoom room picking out on mints, right? And I bring that up because I've been there. Go through and ask yourself, is this something that we absolutely had to spend money on? And also, is this the best place to have purchased this box of Sam's mints? And are these the best people we should be using? Now, if you have suppliers, so if you are producing something, a widget, and you're buying raw materials, or even if you're a service, but you outsource some of the legwork, check for price creep. Let me say that again. Check for price creep. What is price creep? It is, over time, the cost of that thing. So let's talk about widgets, that block of wood. The price going up slowly, irrationally, and really for no particular reason, but small movements that you as a customer, week to week or purchase to purchase, probably won't notice. That's price creep. All right. That is tracking and measuring our spending in one way in our business. We spend money in many different ways. It doesn't just appear on a credit card statement, but it tends to be the place where most of the loose spending happens. So we're going to track, look at, ask ourselves hard questions about the spending in order to preserve profit, make sure that profit is the best number it can be. On the other side of that, now we're going to talk about what can we track that's going to expand profit or expand the top line and thereby expanding profit? Let's look at generating more transactions, landing new clients, and getting existing ones to spend more and more often. As you probably already know, keeping customers longer is less expensive than acquiring a new customer. So do everything you can to keep your current customers happy and find ways to add value to them longer and longer and in new ways. You want to lengthen the life of a client, increase their lifetime value to you. We talked about expanding profit through generating more transactions, landing new clients, and getting the existing ones to spend more and spend more often. Of those things, today we're going to talk about landing new clients and a strategy, which is, in my opinion, one of the best strategies to land new clients. And that's called joint ventures. What does joint venture mean? Well, simply, joint venture is having a relationship with other people that can be either great referral partners to you, or maybe even a step further, that they have some financial incentive to get people to buy more and more frequently, like in the form of a commission. Now, joint ventures, if you visualize a line and think of that as like a value chain, all the people that serve a customer, the end user, in a similar but non-competitive way. The best example that I've seen, heard, and used is think of a wedding. In the course of producing that wedding, there are a lot of sequential things that happen. There's a jeweler involved early on. There's a venue. There's a caterer, a cake maker, a dressmaker, DJ. The list just goes on and on. Tux rental, limousine company, a JV partner. So like in the case of the wedding, if you were a florist and you were looking at that timeline and you pegged the florist somewhere on that line, everything to the left of it, or everything that happens before a bride thinks about flowers, are great potential joint venture partners. Those are people who know about this wedding, this opportunity for revenue before you. And the idea is if you build a relationship upstream with those people, they're going to get, not only get you involved earlier, but if there is an incentive for them, they might even go so far as to drop your name or insist that they purchase from you. Think about joint ventures as an out-of-the-box strategy. Your flower shop competitors are running Facebook ads.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting flyers out.
Mm-hmm.
They're targeting the end user, the bride or the groom. All their communication, everything they're doing is towards that end user. Whereas if you took a joint venture approach, you would still be reaching out directly to the end user, the decision maker. But you would also have this plan in place to reach out and have a relationship with these 9 or 10 steps before yours. And in essence, think of that as if you do it well and you do it right, you might have 5 or 6 fairly dedicated people that are quote unquote selling for you. If you do have to pay a finder's fee, it's still going to be a financial win. Okay. The takeaway, what I want you to take away is, when you're focused on building your business, growing your business, growing your profit, you do have to think a little differently. And the further upstream you can think, the sooner, the more likely you'll have opportunities to get that business, whatever business you're in.
Let me see if I can bring this back to center. So far, we have talked about increasing profit through two different strategies, really, or two larger principles. The first is reducing costs as a general principle. And we got specific about one way to do it, probably the best way to start, especially if you are a small business. And that's through your statements and your credit cards and just touching every transaction to see, is this needed? Do I need to do it? Are these the right places to buy from? Are these the right prices to pay? The second thing is on the opposite end of the spectrum, and that's about expanding, not, you know, cutting cost is a, like addition through subtraction. We're reducing cost, but that's having a positive, a growing effect on our bottom line. On the other side, we want to talk about growing the top line. So we want to have multiplication. And one of the ways that we talked about the growing idea includes more transactions, more new clients, keeping clients longer, increasing the transaction value and the frequency, how often your clients are purchasing. We went on to discuss just one slice of that, and that is new clients, how to get more new clients. And a particular strategy there that I'm fond of is joint ventures. And we talked about how it's important to look at your business along a line or your industry or the buyer's journey and get to know and get good relationships going with the people who are upstream from you. That's going to increase your ability to find new opportunities and close them, generating more sales, ultimately generating more profit. Those are the two things that we touched on. So let's switch gears for a second. You might say, well, Brad, this is great, but how am I going to measure and keep track of these things? How am I going to know whether I'm making a dent? Well, I look at measuring KPIs in two ways, lead measures and lag measures. Lag measures show an outcome of something that's already happened. It's in the past. You can't do anything about it at this point. Lead measures are used to predict an outcome in the future. To clarify this, in school, you get a report card. That report card grade is based on your work in the previous quarter or semester or month, however that school does it. It measures the work you've already done. Think of it as backwards facing. There's nothing you can do short of hacking into the school's mainframe and changing your grade. There might even be a movie about that. Now, consider quizzes for a moment. These are smaller measurements of your progress over shorter timeframes, shorter periods. So if our big goal is to improve our grade at the end of the year, so at the end of 10th grade, we get an A or a B, and you were only tracking your report card grades, and it's too late. All of the work has been done. You're not getting the results until the end of the period. You've got zero chance to actually impact your grade. But if you're focused on quizzes and improving and making minute adjustments, but if you're focused on your quizzes and week to week, having a point or two better each time, you're going to ultimately drive a positive outcome in your grade. The key difference between lead and lag measures lies in the orientation of time. So lag measures are backwards looking. They represent the output or outcome of past efforts. They're easy to measure, but they're hard, if not impossible, to improve or influence because they've already happened. Examples of lag measures are, like we said before, sales, revenue, net profit, market share. All those are snapshots of a measurement that is backwards facing. On the other hand, lead measures are forward facing. They represent the actions or activities that are under our control, things that we can actually influence future outcomes by. They're harder to measure, but they're easier to influence. So in business, examples of lead measures might be the number of sales calls made, customer satisfaction scores, or the number of new leads generated. All those are smaller measurements over shorter periods of time that will tell a story. If your average number of calls made is 25 and you're trending towards 40, right? And you've got a couple of data points along the way, that's an indication that you're going to have a stronger sales timeframe or sales period. Sales results is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes the distinction between lead and lag measures can get confusing. And let me add to your confusion right here. One measurement that is a good measurement of what your sales, revenue, and profit will look like in the future is customer satisfaction. If you look closely, though, customer satisfaction is a lag measure. It's measuring something that is already taken place. Your customer bought the widget, and they're either satisfied or they're not. You have, once that score is posted, there's nothing you can do about that. So in itself, it looks like a lag measure, but how you use it makes it a lead measure. I zoom out and I look at customer satisfaction over the course of a month. I'm going to get some trend information. I'm going to see how we're doing in general. And if that paints a picture over the first month in a quarter and it's trending down, then there's a good chance that I'm not going to have a good quarter, right? Depending on the business and what the cycle is and all that stuff. But in general, if I look at that average customer satisfaction score over a period of time, it's going to tell me something. It's going to forewarn me that there is an issue serving our customers. And if we don't change it, we're going to feel it, most likely in our pockets. So how you use the information you're measuring makes a difference.
You are what you track.
That's it for me today. I truly hope you found some value in this. And the takeaway, if nothing else, should be this. What can you do that's going to have an impact on profit? And how are you going to measure that? That's the key. If you want to change anything, and it should be profit, you need to be able to track it. And how do you understand the way that things track and move? Lead measures, lag measures. On to the next show. I wish you all plenty of success. Have a good one.